In 1971, Don McLean released American Pie, one of the most iconic songs in the history of music. It's an allegory for the rise of rock and roll as a religious, even messianic movement, offering hope, vision, and redemption to the post-World War II generation, but also a warning of the inevitable corrupting influences of money, power, and ego to undermine the promise of cultural transcendence. The refrain, "The Day the Music Died," refers to Buddy Holly, one of the pioneering figures in early rock and roll, killed in a plane crash at age 22. The name of the plane carrying him was purportedly Miss American Pie. The lyrics are laced with cultural allusions. The King is Elvis Presley, the Jester is Bob Dylan. The Quartet and the Sergeants both refer to the Beatles, whose song Helter Skelter is associated with cult murderer Charles Manson. Satan is Mick Jagger, and the girl who sang the blues is Janis Joplin, who died of a heroin overdose at age 27. You can research exhaustive interpretive streams online to your heart's content. But that's not why we're here. The purpose of this video is to present before you a deeper interpretation, one based in the Kabbalistic secrets of ancient Jewish mysticism, revealed after half a century to enlighten and inspire us to find our way through the confusion of our times, to light our path through the darkness of uncertainty. As we approach the Jewish holiday of Purim, which celebrates the hidden hand of divine intervention, please sit back and behold the heretofore undiscovered esoteric mysteries of American Pie.
Long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance, and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I deliver. Bad news on the doorstep. I couldn't take one more step. And I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widow bride. But something touched me deep inside the day the music died.
The past is never forgotten unless we forget the teachings from a long, long time ago, which call on us to remember that the ultimate source of joy was found in the music played by the Levites in the Great Temple in Jerusalem over 2,000 years ago. It is the fusion of heart, mind, and spirit that evokes the everlasting smile of eternal happiness. It was that window of opportunity that gave us our chance to sing and dance in preparation for the end of days, when all mankind will live in perfect harmony. But the moment was lost. Instead, we find ourselves condemned to the cold darkness of exile that makes us shiver with fear as we struggle not to lose hope in the ultimate light of redemption. Emerging from the cold of February, we celebrate the Festival of Purim by recounting the story of the Book of Esther, the news of the genocidal plot to destroy the Jewish people, and their miraculous salvation. Through the hand of providence, the wicked viceroy's murderous decree was reversed by the pronouncement of the king's reprieve, bringing about a national reconciliation with the Almighty, like that of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, understood homiletically to be a day like Purim. The news crossing the doorstep harkens back to the Exodus from Egypt, when the blood of the Paschal Lamb upon the doorposts protected the Jews from the angel of death that swooped down to punish their oppressors following the plague of darkness, which froze the Egyptians in place, unable to take one single step. But too soon, After the redemption, the Jewish people sinned with the golden calf, a calamity that seemed to widow them from their spiritual intimacy as bride of the Almighty. Realizing what they had done, they mourned and cried as the spirit of repentance touched them deep inside, offering hope that what was lost might one day be regained. But it would be a long path, as the spiritual instability created by their transgression ultimately led to the destruction of the temple and the cessation of the priestly service. When the joyous celebration of the soul fell silent, that was the day the music died.
So bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys drinking whiskey and cry, singing, this'll be the day that I die.
This American Pie alludes to the interrelationship between the inner and outer worlds, as does pi, 3.1416, the ratio of the circumference to the radius, expressing our long circumscribed journey through exile while yet radiating the light of redemption that accompanied the arrival of Jews in America, their last stop of freedom on the long sojourn toward fulfilling the prophecy destiny in their homeland. Chevy comes from the word shuvu, repent, as the prophet Hosea implores his people to return to the life-giving spiritual waters that symbolize the service of the tribe of Levi. But despite the prophet's urging, the sanctuary of Levi remains dry, and the Jews continue to wander through exile, indulging the visceral intoxication of whiskey and the dark irony of wry humor, blurring the boundaries between temporal life in this world and the eternal life that awaits us after we die in the world to come.
You write a book of love.
King Solomon who wrote the Book of Love, also known as the Biblical Song of Songs, an allegorical love poem between God above and his beloved servants. And although the structure of classical music symbolizes the immutable words of Scripture, it is rock and roll that alludes to the oral tradition handed down through the ages, emanating from God, our rock, and rolling down across the generations, awakening the reincarnated souls of antiquity. Ultimately, the righteous will rejoice with a slow, spiraling dance to close the circle of time and life. But infatuation often masquerades as true love, like the Jews seduced by the glittering superficiality of the Greeks and their gymnasia, tempting them into unfaithfulness of false service that was a mere imitation of the barefoot devotion of the Levites and the priests in the temple. Authentic commitment has a meter and rhythm, symbolized by the blue thread worn as fringes upon our garments, reflecting the depth of the sea and the vastness of the sky. The sages compare a teenage boy to a bronking stallion, filled with unbridled passion and energy, racing toward the pink sky of dawn and endless new experiences, trusting in the luck that is bound to fail when he bucks against the plan that Providence has laid out before him. Masters of Kabbalah teach that there are 10 distinct spiritual levels, just as there are 10 days of repentance between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, alluding to our mission to strive toward spiritual purity and completion. The Hebrew word mas means tax, levied on the Jews in the desert to finance the tabernacle, in the merit of which they were saved from the evil plot of the wicked Haman, in which he invested 10,000 talents of silver, and connecting them back to our forefather Jacob, who rolled the stone away to let the waters of ancient wisdom flow forth. The jester alludes to the great sage Mordechai, who clothed himself in garments of din, the Hebrew word meaning divine judgment, before the one true king, and thereby bemused the Persian king Ahasuerus to annul his own genocidal plot. Together with Queen Esther, Mordechai evoked the Jewish people to cry out with the voice of repentance, the same voice that comes from you and me to ultimately imbue the sound of the ram's horn with redemptive power on the day of judgment. Indeed, King Ahasuerus was looking down to his viceroy Haman to solve his Jewish problem, but Mordechai stole the crown of redemption to abrogate the decree of the king's court. Persia was the second kingdom after Babylon that attempted to thwart the spread of spiritual values among the nations of the world. The third was Greece, which worshipped external form over substance and produced the superficial ideologies that inspired both John Lennon to celebrate irrational utopianism and Vladimir Lenin to spark the Marxist revolution. In response, we darken the lights on Tisha B'Av, the day of Jewish mourning, and recite the dirges of liturgical lamentation to remind ourselves of the divine light hidden from the world since the destruction of the temple.
While the stars played a march or two.
Vince, there was a hidden message in the Beatles song Helter Skelter. The psychopathic murderer Charles Manson believed he could incite a racial civil war that would catapult him to absolute power. The name Manson translates to Hebrew as Ben-Adam, the name used by the prophet Ezekiel to rebuke humankind for its moral corruption and warn against the sweltering flames of hell that await us if we don't turn back from the brink. The birds, symbolizing man's lofty spiritual nature, break through the limitations of the material world to escape the fallout of spiritual meltdown. Where the number 7 symbolizes worldly perfection, the number 8 represents spiritual transcendence. And yet, no matter how high we fly, we quickly fall back to earth. Inevitably, there are those who give up so that their potential is lost and turns foul. But we who continue as players on the field of life strive forward to acquire the sanctity of the bird offerings in the temple that bring purity to the impure. In the same way, righteous Mordecai was sidelined by his colleagues, cast down for engaging in worldly politics, and yet, by doing so, he saved his people from annihilation and became a hero for the ages. The temple was rebuilt, and the sweet perfume of the temple incense was renewed, then lost, then reclaimed again when the Maccabees restored the supernal tunes to the temple. But the heretical Hellenists rejected the return to pure service, diluting profound Jewish wisdom with the superficial sophistry of Greek philosophy. We barely had time to dance with joy before the chance for redemption was lost yet again to the regimental Roman legions who ultimately destroyed the Second Temple. Generations later, modern-day Maccabees substitute gladiatorial combat on the athletic field for the legacy of the priesthood. But the ancient music of the Levites preserves and ultimately reveals the light of divine wisdom is the only antidote for the darkness of chaos and corruption. For the first time in 2,500 years, the majority of Jews living in one place in the land of Israel is nearly at hand. But no peace has come in our time, as enemies seek to drive us from our homeland, and too many of us have lost ourselves seeking meaning in the self-absorption of popular culture. But the predictions of messianic destiny grow more compelling each year, and there's no time to turn back the clock and start again. The name Jack is the diminutive of Jacob, the third patriarch, whose presence slowly but inexorably emerges from the darkness of exile, and the sparks of holiness hidden in the physical world flash bright as they find their way back to their place in the heavenly spheres, a harbinger of the rekindling of the candles of the menorah and the final rebuilding of the temple. But still, the agents of Satan attempt to steal the fire of divine service, distracting us with pyrotechnic spectacle, hypnotic demagogues, and omens of hopelessness laughing at us when we fall for their seductions and deceptions. And yet, even this is an illusion. For the ultimate mission of Satan is to challenge us, to force us to reach deep inside ourselves, to rechannel frustrated rage into purposeful passion by playing out our parts on the stage of life. When we do, Satan will delight in our victory, for we will vindicate his mission by prevailing over the darkness of confusion and restoring the light of true understanding for all future generations.
I met a girl who sang the blues, and I asked her for some happy news, but she just smiled and turned away. I went down to the sacred store, where I'd heard the music years before, but the man there said the music wouldn't play. And in the streets, the children screamed, the lovers cried, and the poets dreamed, but not a word was spoken. The church bells all were broken, and the three men I admired most, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, they caught the last train for the coast. The day the music died, and they were singing bye bye, this American pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them good old boys were drinking whiskey, singing, this will be the day that I die. This will be the day that I die. Bye bye, this American pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And the good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this will be the day that I die.
After 22 years of Jacob believing that his son Joseph was dead and that he had failed in his life's mission, Jacob's sons feared that the news Joseph was still alive would shock their father and endanger his life. They charged his beloved granddaughter, Sarah Basasher, to sing a sad song hinting at Joseph's survival to soften the impact of the news. We, too, wait for the song of redemption, seeking it out in the ancient sites of holiness, the study halls, the places of prayer. Elijah the prophet walks the streets unnoticed, not yet ready to herald the coming of the end of days. But all the cries of silence, the anguished moments of emptiness, and the hopeful imaginings of peace and prosperity merely fill the void of Elijah's silence, as each moment brings us closer to the consecration for which we so devoutly wish. For indeed, days are coming when all the peoples of the world will join hands and celebrate the final revelation of our Father in heaven, his firstborn son Israel, and the spectral return of the divine presence before the eyes of all mankind. Because when the first temple was destroyed and the songs of the Levites fell silent, that was the day we began the long journey that will eventually set us on track to restore the wellsprings of spiritual sustenance and wash away the memories of exile and all its travails. When that time comes, our souls will refresh themselves in the wisdom of the heavens and the music of eternity. So bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die.